I came to electrical engineering through a very indirect path. I started, if I might as well start at the beginning. I was born in Huntington, West Virginia, and lived there through my high school years. And I think it was probably during my junior
high school years I became interested primarily
in chemistry. I had the usual chemistry set, and took the usual paint and varnish off of some of my mother's tables, but decided I really wanted to be a chemist. When it came to college time, I looked around, applied at a number of places, finally ended up going to Johns Hopkins, which had a long-term reputation in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, who wanted me to be a medical doctor, thought probably I might become infected there. but it didn't work out that way. So I got my bachelor's degree in chemistry in 1949. Started to look around for a job, and that was not a very good time to get jobs. It was before the Korean War, and things were still winding down from World War II. And one of my chemistry professors suggested I really ought to go to graduate school anyway. His name was Clark Bricker. He had gotten his PhD at Princeton, was an assistant professor at Johns Hopkins, and was offered a position back at Princeton. And he suggested I apply to Princeton and said he was sure he could provide some way for me to pay my costs if I were to decide to come to Princeton. So I did that and worked in his lab in analytical chemistry as a laboratory assistant, also did some additional research work while I was studying for my PhD. By that time, I was fairly certain that physical chemistry is what really attracted me. And so I chose as my thesis advisor a physical chemist named Walter Kaltzman. Kaltzman was a student of Henry Eyring's, and Henry Eyring was one of the creators of so-called absolute rate theory, which was an effort to learn more and quantify what determines not the equilibrium of chemical reactions, but instead the kinetics of chemical reactions. Now, Walter was interested in anything that moved. I was saying Walter was interested in anything that moved, kinetic phenomena in general. And he suggested as a thesis topic for me a study of fact that was really not very well explained then. At first glance, it has very little to do with chemistry per se, but it's the fact that if you take metals, purify them, and grow single crystals, the single crystals are much weaker, much more easily deformed than the metal in its polycrystalline state.
Mm-hmm.
And he had had a graduate student who was going to study the kinetics of that phenomenon, and he was just finishing his work, which primarily consisted of building some good apparatus to be able to measure very small deformations
in crystals,
and made some initial measurements. And I picked up his apparatus and refined it as much as I could and started looking at zinc crystals. Zinc has a hexagonal structure, and its deformation pattern is simpler because there is a preferred crystal plane upon which deformation prefers to occur. And so started about growing zinc single crystals and measuring their deformation under constant stress and at various temperatures, and determining and looking for, trying to determine the activation energy for deformation. And I found, as I analyzed that very interestingly, the heat of deformation, the thermal energy dependence was very low, the stress dependence was very high, And if you applied absolute rate theory, you found that the phenomenon that was controlling it had an extraordinarily high entropy factor associated with it, which suggested it was some kind of organized defect. Well, that was at the time when people were just starting to think about things called dislocations, and that was quite consistent with that. So that got me my PhD thesis.